Hello, world family, and welcome to Ripples of Humanity. I'm Rachel Thompson, and through this podcast, I am sharing interesting stories along my travels of people, projects, and initiatives I discover that are contributing to positive ripples throughout humanity. In this episode, again, I am taking you back to the south of India, to Karna Shanti Varnam, called Karna for short, which is the world headquarters of the Heartfulness Institute. During my stay at Karna, it coincided with the Youth Rising with Kindness conference. So for 3 days, there were around 5,000 youth between the age of 18 to 35 at Karna. So it was pretty cool to be considered a youth, given that I'm 35. The conference was filled with a lot of workshops, wellbeing activities, concerts, social activities, collective meditation sessions, and on the final night, I had a really wholesome kindness carnival. In this episode, I'll be sharing two conversations. Firstly, with Akshay, a 20-year-old man who was born in India but has since lived in many countries around the world. He was here visiting his family who live at Karna, and he'll be sharing his experiences participating in the conference and also what it's like growing up in a family involved in the heartfulness community. And secondly, I'll share a conversation with my good friend Anant. He was volunteering at the conference. So we'll chat about his experience volunteering, and he also shares how the heartfulness practice and the community has impacted his life. Also, feel free to check out previous episodes 6 and 7 if you want to hear more about heartfulness meditation and Karna Shanti Varnam, where I speak to Dr. Elizabeth Denley and Dr. Veronique Nicolay. Hope you enjoy. Thanks for joining me, Akshay. Interested to talk to you today about the Rising with Kindness conference for the last 3 days that's been going on here at Karna Shanti Varnam. Just wanted to ask you firstly, what brought you here to the conference?
So my grandparents live inside the ashram here, and I've been quite, you know, I've been for one of these conferences in the past, but I didn't really attend it fully. I was just here for about a day, and then I left back to Hong Kong, I think. So I just wanted to experience it once, and to be honest, I'm studying for something right now, and I just wanted to, you know, get away from that for a bit, because I was quite burnt out, because I've been studying for the last 20 years of my life, so I just wanted 3 days off. I was just burnt out to the point where I couldn't study properly even for like 2 hours or even an hour straight. So, you know, I just wanted to get some knowledge, maybe improve my concentration, get a few tips on how I could maybe better improve my self-management and everything, because there are quite a few talks on all aspects of life. And yeah, it was quite useful.
Cool. So the way the conference was set up, it had different workshops and breakout sessions that you could go to. What sessions did you attend?
So I attended two sessions. On the last day, I just ended up helping them set up things because they needed extra hands to help out. So since I'm from here, I just said I'll help out. But the first session I did was on self-management and in small steps. And that's something I definitely needed because I just couldn't manage myself over the last like 2 weeks. I've just been procrastinating a lot, to be honest. And I've just been putting everything off, just been going to gym. Before gym, I'll be like, yeah, I'll study after the gym. After I go to gym, I'll come back home and be like, yeah, I'm tired, I don't want to study. And then I'll just hang out with my friends. But yeah, this was a useful class for me. It put it into very small steps, which were quite easy to follow. And yeah, I've realized one of the main things which really, let's say, distracts me nowadays is the mobile phone. And very simply, they just switch the phone off and just throw it into another room and study in another room. That way you can't, you know, it's like a barrier to leave the room and get the phone.
Otherwise, if
it's in the room, you just pick it up and start using it. So yeah, that was one of the small tips. And that was the first class I did. The second one I did was...
Just to go back on that, have you been implementing that and you've noticed a shift?
Today was the first day I implemented it. And to be honest, I did find it quite easy to study again today. The main thing was, you know, I'm someone who's quite hyperactive, I would say. And there's a lot of reading involved in what I'm trying to study for.
What are you studying?
Chartered Financial Analyst. It's just the first level. But in terms of implementing, I just started today. And what I did before starting was I took a few bullet point notes on my phone during these sessions. I just wrote it down on the front of my notebook so that every time I start studying, those are the things I read.
Yes.
And cool. It was quite, you know, it definitely helped compartmentalize how I'm going to try go about it.
And then what was the other session you did?
The other session I did was about being a heartful leader. So in heartfulness, there are quite a few different things which just help you improve in terms of being a human in general. And one of them is being a heartful communicator. I can't tell you in detail about this, unfortunately, but I've read a few things about it and my grandparents keep telling me about it. And when I was younger, I realized that, you know, I used to talk a lot of rubbish. I still do sometimes, but not as much as I did before. And one of the main things is, you know, when you kind of, obviously you'll always have your subconscious mind and you will always analyze what you're doing. It's just natural, isn't it? And one of the things I've realized is, you know, if you just pause when, you know, you just, maybe you're overstimulated or something and you think about what you're talking about or whatever, it's quite easy to realize what you can do improve in terms of most things. That's one of the things which my grandma told me quite a while back.
In the seminar with the heartful leadership, was there anything that, because if you're saying you want to be a leader, how do you feel that you could be a heartful leader in the future?
I feel like the main difference is just simply caring about everyone and not just about yourself and the company or whatever. For example, there's this really famous philanthropist now, but he's really famous around India. His name's Ratan Tata. And he is someone who's donated, like, I can't tell you the exact number, so don't, but I'm pretty sure he's donated like about 80 or 90% of his wealth to just good causes around India. And he's someone I would say who's quite a good leader, because end of the day, even, you know, he made sure that every single one of his employees was taken care of no matter what. And he didn't really only care about himself, he cared about growing as a community. And that's what I feel like a leader shouldn't only, you know, care about himself. End of the day, a leader should try and think what's best for his company as well. But I feel like a leader can also, in terms of, I feel like a leader is someone who breaks barriers, right? And I feel like breaking barriers can lead to improvement in society as a whole. And I feel like that's what I took away from the session in general, to be honest. Yeah.
And what was the part about this conference that you enjoyed the most? There was about 4,000 people from all over India here gathered. What did you enjoy the most about it all?
So I'm someone who's not really grown up in India. I've grown up all in multiple other countries, but I come to India like once a year. And I'm someone who really is looking forward to one day, like, exploring around India like you are doing. And that, for that, now I have friends basically in every corner of India from this conference. So, like, I've got friends in the north. I think one day you should go as well, in the northeast of India. It's known to be, it's called the Seven Sisters because there's seven states there, which are all, like, you know, it's basically just wilderness and, like, rainforest. It's, like, really beautiful. And I've made like 5-6 friends from Assam, which is quite cool because there's like a tiger reserve there, and I'm someone who really likes animals, so I can't wait to go there one day. And I've made a few friends in Hyderabad itself, which is where we are, and it's quite beautiful to, you know more people. I'm someone who's quite extroverted, so I just spoke to so many people. So yeah, that was probably my favorite thing.
Yeah, the connection to everyone. With other people.
Yeah, it's just nice hearing stories about what other people have done in the last how many ever years.
So. Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at this kindness conference, there was a kindness carnival. Can you tell me what happened at the what happens at a kindness carnival?
To be honest, the first time I experienced it as well, and it was quite fun, but it was quite fun. Do you remember the World Cafe?
Yeah, I
went for that, where we spoke about world problems and we tried to just note down ideas on how we can maybe change it or improve it.
I saw that. So there was like
different tables set up with like tea and snacks and whatever, and you could go and sit at the table with different people.
Yeah, it was quite random actually. They just made you go to a different table and you got to interact with new people again.
Yeah, okay. And it had some topics on the table that you could then talk about world problems.
Exactly.
And things. Right.
I really enjoyed that World Cafe, but other than that, there was an open mic. It was quite fun. It was just nice to hear what people had to say. Yeah. And
I had some people coming up to me giving me kindness cards. So they were like kindness cards that the people had written. They were at a station and they'd written really nice quotes and messages, and they were giving it to me, said like, this is what I felt you like was right for you, and then you need to pass it on to someone else at the carnival. So that was really sweet.
That's nice. Yeah. Whoever plans these events, they put a lot of thought into it, because it's, you know, it's quite important. Because to be honest, many of the people who came for the event have never left their states in India. So I can imagine how limited their view of whatever the world is must be. Because end of the day, the reason why I feel like I'm quite, you know, open-minded and quite friendly, and like I talk to everyone, is because I've experienced so many cultures now. And
how old are you? I'm
20.
20, yeah.
Yeah, and I've lived in like 6-7 countries and been to maybe like 15 as well. So I really enjoyed, you know, it's easy for me to speak to everyone, but many of them were like really scared as well, because they've never left their states, and this is their first time. It's like a vacation for them almost, because they've never left their state. I just, you know, I was quite grateful that, you know, I've lived the life that I've lived so far, to be honest. Cause
so it gave you some reflection time to reflect
definitely.
On your life. Yeah.
And many of them were just really happy to just speak to someone who's, like, lived in, like, even 2-3 countries outside India.
Yeah.
And I, you know...
I found that too. A lot of people were coming up to me and saying that I was the first foreigner they'd ever met, and just being so interested in what is life like outside of India. So, it was very interesting.
That's why I really... I'm kind of happy the event happened, because there are a lot of people who, you know, they... Like I said, they've never experienced it, and they don't even know what... They don't even know what life is like outside their place. And so this would have been an experience for them. And also many of them don't even, you know, they don't even think about leaving their place either, because that's how they've been brought up. But since I went to an international school and all, like, and I've met people from all these different countries, I've like really wanted to just go everywhere now, because I want to experience everything. That's why I know Geelong as well. I know that's why I know many places in Australia. So yeah, it's quite interesting. And
and the event itself was pretty much free, so most people who were here were sponsored to come here, and the event was had a lot of sponsors and support from the government and everything to be able to run. So it was good to be able to give people that opportunity who'd never be able to get the opportunity
otherwise
to come here. And so, talking about here at Karna Shantivanam, this is the world's largest meditation center, and it's the method of meditation is called heartfulness meditation. So could you just share a little bit about your experience with heartfulness meditation, or just being, you mentioned that your grandparents and your parents are practitioners of heartfulness meditation. So what's it been like growing up in that environment?
To be honest, it's been quite good. Not good. Good would be an understatement. I've really enjoyed it. Without this, I feel like there would be many moments in life till now where I would have been like quite, you know, I don't think I would have been in a great mental state, to be honest, because end of the day, life goes up and down all the time. And this just helps. Like, I started meditating when I was 15, and when I was 15, obviously I was still not fully developed emotionally and mentally, probably, as well. And at that age, I really did not want to start meditating, to be honest. But since my grandparents and parents have been, I just started anyways, but I wasn't really that interested. And slowly, over the last 2 years, I've really started enjoying it in terms of what it's been working, finally, for me. And I can finally understand why my parents and grandparents have been doing it for so long. And yeah, back to growing up with it, it's given me friends all over the world. In terms of wherever we go, we know like 10 heartfulness practitioners at least, and it's just like a big family at the end of the day, and it's really nice. growing up with this, I feel like I learned a lot of the values that are needed to be a good human. I feel like the most important thing in life is just happiness. I literally think nothing else matters. And obviously, you know, you need to earn money at the end of the day to survive. But genuinely, one of the things he used to say is the only thing that matters at the end is happiness, because you're not going to remember all the money you earn when you go, and you know, you're only going to remember all the memories, because that's what that,
and how do you get happiness?
How do I get happiness? Mostly by just, I get happiness by the things that most 20-year-olds get happiness from. I enjoy just playing sports. I enjoy watching movies. Now I enjoy interacting. To be honest, I really enjoy interacting with my cousins who are like 10 and 11, because I've kind of just realized that I'm probably not going to be able to get to see them much more anymore, because they're going to get slowly older and going to have to study more, and I have to start working now as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and obviously spending time with my grandparents, because, again, I won't be able to come back to India as frequently as I have been. So I'm someone who's slowly becoming grateful for everything slowly, which is what the best thing is. So, yeah, I'm just enjoying. Happiness for me is just enjoying. For me, I get happiness from just interacting with people usually, so I would definitely
say... It's quite simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite simple. Yeah. I don't really need much else to make me happy. Yeah. It's just... And probably I need a bit of sun. I don't really like when it's gloomy.
But not too much sun. We were just talking about how it can get too hot here.
Yeah. I just studied 3 years in the UK, so... Over there, you don't really see the sun much at all. So I love the sun, but here the sun's a bit too much.
So what's next for you in your journey?
What's next? I'll be studying for this, and then I'll go see my parents in Hong Kong. I've not seen them. I saw them recently, but one of the big Indian festivals, I'm sure you know, is Diwali.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Festival of Lights.
Lights. Yeah. So I've not celebrated Diwali with my family in terms of my dad, mom, and sister for 3 years now. So I'll go celebrate with them in Hong Kong. And then I'll write my exam there.
Yeah.
And then I'll go work in mostly Dubai for a year. And then I'll go back to the UK and get a job there, because my sister's going to go and study there in a year's time. So that's the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Not much else.
Anything else you wanted to share about either heartfulness or the conference or anything? Any wise words from your 20-year-old self?
Meditation will... I feel like meditation just helps you... Like, you know, I feel like the highs aren't that high anymore. Mm. When you meditate and the lows aren't that low. You have a... It's like... You know how waves go up and down? It's just nice.
Yeah,
it's just a nice tremor.
The Equanimous.
Yeah.
You're not reaching for the highs.
It's not like an up and down. It's just like a slow one. Yeah.
Keep meditating throughout your life?
Definitely, yeah. Now that I understand and I'm able to experience what you're meant to experience, I feel like I'm genuinely understanding why it's useful.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much for your time, and all the best in everything you do in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I found it so refreshing speaking to Akshay, and his wisdom really gives me hope for leaders of the future. Also, I wish that I started meditating at the age of 15. I'm sure my family would definitely agree that it was very necessary for me at that age to be meditating. I think the closest thing I got to meditation that age was playing dead fish at school or heads down, thumbs up in the classroom. Also, Akshay mentioned heartful communication in our chat, and I just wanted to add that the highlight of the conference for me was actually a workshop on heartful communication, which was hosted by Liz Kingsnorth, who's the Global Director of Heartful Communication at Heartfulness. It was a really phenomenal workshop, actually, and it was probably helped by the fact that Liz was one of the most engaging presenters I've ever seen in my life. But also the topic of heartful communication, which I feel could be so beneficial in every person's life toolkit. So basically, heartful communication integrates heartfulness with nonviolent communication, which was developed by Marshall Rosenberg. So nonviolent communication suggests that everything anyone says or does is an attempt to fulfill one or more of our life human needs. Things like respect, acceptance, security, contributing to others. and when we learn to focus on and validate the needs that underlie behaviour, we find a way to connect with the person, even if what they're saying or doing we don't agree with. So this actually inspired me to go a lot deeper into learning about nonviolent communication and heartful communication, and I found it really interesting and beneficial. And I'll link to a number of resources in the episode notes if you want to explore more. Now we'll hear the conversation I had with Anant. Thank you so much for joining me, Anant. So this year you were volunteering at the Rising with Kindness conference. Could you explain a little bit about what you were doing at the conference and what your experience was like?
Sure. Thank you, Rachel, for having me over here. Rising with Kindness, this initiative for us from back end started about 4 months back. And this is the second edition which we have for the youngsters in the age of 18 to 35. And like when you're organizing something and you're volunteering for that purpose, you see at the back end there are a lot of conflicts which we need to trace it out, erase it, change it, and ensure that the end product is coming out in a nice way. We're always not sure about whether, you know, the participants are having the best of the experiences or not. But as we are moving forward in this, and while talking to the participants on day two and day three, how's your experience? And what touched my heart at that time was instantly there were 5-6 girls who I was talking to, and they said that it felt like home for us.
Oh, that's so lovely. Yes. Yeah, so. And how many youth were at the conference?
We had about 5,000 plus participants coming across India as well as outside India, internationally. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing. It was quite an experience. And the facility here at Kana Shantivanam is the perfect place to host something like that because it can host so many people here. And the energy here is really powerful.
Yeah, that is correct. So we have comfort domes. We had, I think, 2 comfort domes were used for this particular event. And usually this place can actually hold more than 30,000 people. We are coming up with another event by the name of Bandara, which is going to be Daji's birthday as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
Right.
Yes, it was quite a scene being in the dining hall at lunchtime and just seeing thousands of people around getting fed. But everything just moved so seamlessly, it seemed anyway.
Yeah, so this is a magical place. We all, whenever we come over here, we see how, even in the difficult of the situations, we see how calmly the things flow in the right direction at the right time. So yes, and even the participants, whoever is coming from outside and they have never experienced, say, heartfulness or spirituality, but at the same time they instantly flow into the system and be calm and be nice, and be accepting enough to let us flow in the right direction calmly, peacefully.
Definitely. And an event like this at this volume needs a lot of volunteers. So how many were volunteering behind the scenes, or can you not put a number to it? It's just too many.
Too many. Yeah, I will not honestly have a number, but what I can say is that these youngsters have put in their hard work from months now to culminate into what an experience it has been for the participants.
Yeah, that's nice. And what's next for you, Anand? So within your involvement in this place, I think there's something coming up. There's a running event coming up.
Yeah, that's
that you're
correct. That's
to
correct.
Organize.
We had a promo run in the Rising with Kindness as well, by the name of Green Heartfulness Run. So there was one session called as Kana Mornings. And each participant experienced yoga, different activities, as well as the run in the nature. So yes, the main run is going to take place on the 17th November. The purpose of this race is to protect and preserve our planet and its ecosystem. So 100% of the proceeds goes towards the plantation activity, which is a Forest by Heartfulness initiative.
Okay, so there's a plantation activity as part of the run, which all the proceeds go to.
Yes.
And tell us about what happens there.
Right, so Forest by Heartfulness has a very typical way of planting trees. There is a process to it, and Apart from the technical process, the human touch to it is that we prayerfully plant it, like, and you would see a 95% plus conversion of trees surviving.
So there's a prayer as you're planting the tree that people undertake here.
Yeah, that's correct.
So nice. Is there a specific prayer or?
No, whatever your heart.
Oh, so whatever your heart, you put your heart into planting that tree.
That's correct.
And I did read somewhere that there are almost 1 million trees that have been planted here.
Absolutely.
That's all been planted with that love.
With that love, and it has been planted by the volunteers themselves. Yeah.
Okay, that's so nice. Yes. So there's a run. How far is the run? How far? What distance?
Okay, so we have 21 kilometer, 10 kilometers, 5 kilometers, and for the family, 1.5 kilometer run.
Okay, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So that's on the 17th of November that you're coming back here.
Absolutely.
To help organize that.
To help organize that. Yes, yes. I'm so looking forward to it.
Amazing. Yeah.
So this is the only run which will be conducted not only in Kana Shantivanam, Hyderabad, but at 90 locations on the same date. And also having international locations like Canada, USA, Australia.
Ah, so there's it's actually being conducted all over the world. It's
absolutely.
All over India.
Yes.
How many locations in India?
We have about 85 locations.
85 locations this run is being done.
Yes,
on
the same date.
And what's it called, the name of it?
The Green Heartfulness Run.
The Green Heartfulness Run. So it's a run that's being spread.
Yes, spread across the globe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's a lot to coordinate.
Yes, and we are expecting about 1 lakh people participating in it.
Okay.
Yeah, across the world.
That's
1,000.
No, 100,000. 100,000 people. Okay.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that. So it's the same date all over the world.
Yeah, same date is what we are focusing on.
All right.
One run for the planet.
Yes, I like that. Amazing. And is everyone planting trees as part of it?
Absolutely.
Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's good. And how, so let's shift a little bit to heartfulness, the heartfulness way and heartfulness meditation. How long have you been involved in heartfulness meditation?
So first time I had experienced heartfulness meditation in 2019 in Kolkata Ashram. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was not a part of, or I did not follow heartfulness meditation for good, I think, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
2023 January is the time when I was in Kana Shantivanam, Hyderabad. And I was here for 10-15 days. And that is the time where I started regularly practicing meditation. And instantly I found the transformation slowly but taking place in me, and I felt that I should be continuing with this process.
So
I can say that from January 23 is the time when I started meditating regularly.
Yes. And what kind of change have you felt inside you?
First is like understanding people, listening to people. So that is one difference I feel in myself. Since I am into business and my business requires, there is a lot of stress in it. So this 30 minutes of calmness just aligns things in me.
Before you started this heartfulness meditation, do you follow a religion? Did you have any other practices that you had in your life?
So I'm a Jain, and my family again follows this religion. However, like I'm fortunate that my family has never imposed the religion on us, and they would ask us to again experience it. If you like it, you do it. If you do not like it, it's okay. So that has been the core. But of course, there are core values which I associate myself with the religion, and I continue with that practice as well. However, this aspect of spirituality had only made us understand religion in a far more better way than the only the surface level of the religion, how it is formed and why it is used.
So it's deepened your experience with the religion
that is correct.
Followed the heartfulness method.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Tell me about your experience here in Kana Shantivanam. It's a meditation center in Hyderabad in the south of India. What does this place mean to you? And could you just explain what happens here?
Like for me also, when I had first come down to Kana Shantivanam after 15 days, this place meant like home to me. reason is the people over here have been so welcoming, and the kindness which we speak about is actually you experience that kindness in each soul who is present at Kanha Shantivanam. So yes,
yes,
it's very close to our hearts.
Yes, it's a very special place. Yes. And that's also what I like about this method, is it's about meditation, but it's also about how you then show up outside of your meditation. It's like, I think I heard some written somewhere, or heard someone say, it was like 5% meditation and 95% how you're acting in your day-to-day life is what's important, and what heartfulness is.
That is correct. So again, Daji always mentions that it's while we are meditating, we are in that state, but can we continue that state, the same state, for the rest of our day? That is what is more important. That is what meditation is teaching us. That is what heartfulness wants us to understand, learn, and practice. So each one of us, we are not only meditative for that 30 minutes. We strive to be meditative for the rest of our day as well.
Yes.
Consciously now, I'm trying to be in that state. So yes, I feel during few events which probably is creating a lot of stress or tension in you, and I just remind myself about the meditative state, and I'm able to react to that situation in a much better way.
Yes. Yeah, that's nice. What is the thing you enjoy most about when you come to this place, Kanha?
First is the environment over here, the ecosystem which we have. It's a green land. It's magical to think that it was barren, say 10 years back, and now to what it is, hosting so many species, ecosystem, people around have been so welcoming. So these are the things which probably, you know, pulls me back again to come over here as much as possible and not to leave this place. But of course, we need to go back and take as much as possible from this place and try to spread that same vibration when you are in your daily work as well.
I like that because it's not all about coming to an ashram or a place to stay forever.
Yes.
Which some people may do, but it's about coming and experiencing it, maybe readjusting, regrounding, and then taking it back into your community, your environment, like what you've learned.
Yes.
Bring that energy there and spread that, hopefully.
That's true. Again, as Daddy says, that in order to fly, you need two wings. And for us, two wings is, one is the spiritual wing and one is the materialistic wing.
Materialistic wing?
Yes.
Okay, so spiritual wing and materialistic wing.
Yeah, that's correct. So you have to live in this world, and you have your own materialistic requirements to live properly in this world. So you cannot just follow one path and, you know, be happy. So that's another thought process which this organization has, which really like I relate to.
Yeah, that makes sense, because it's that balance, isn't
that's
it?
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's not really about like how are you advancing spiritually, but this process also helps you in advancing in your materialistic life and putting, like, in day-to-day activity, whatever you're doing, it's just a thought you put. How would you, like, put your thought in a spiritual way, doing that activity just transforms the way you are going to handle the materialistic life.
Yeah. I love that. Did you have anything else that you wanted to share about the Heartfulness Way, or anything about your experience with the conference or anything?
This conference, again, like, while I'll be talking, I'm actually getting goosebumps. So there are a whole lot of volunteers. What is the takeaway for them is the whole lot of learning we get through engaging with so many participants, plus the guests internationally coming out. And there's no professional organizing event company over here who is going to do that. It is all through the volunteers' work. And it is done with so much heart. Even the guests who are coming in, if there has been any delay or anything which did not go as per the schedule, I've seen that how willingly they accept it, though, how happily they are accepting that state also. And they are also trying to find a way out to, you know, best to get the best outcome for the purpose they are here. So So that is wonderful because in our daily day-to-day life, if things are not going right, and the person would probably not, you know, give you that opportunity to make it right.
Yeah, yes, so, yeah. That's true. A lot of acceptance and tolerance.
Yes, which is
embodying what this is all about.
Yes,
and what we need to bring into more of our lives. And also, thank you for introducing me into this place, Kana Shanti Vanam. So I met you 8 years ago in Kolkata, and I recently went back to Kolkata to visit, and you mentioned that you were doing this heartfulness meditation and that this place even existed, and I was blown away by this place that I knew I had to see it for myself. So thank you for introducing me to it, because it's been really special to be here.
It's a pleasure, and I would like to ask you, how was your experience since you have just started understanding and experiencing heartfulness meditation?
Yeah, so it had just been 2 months ago that we saw each other in Kolkata, and I started practicing a little bit of heartfulness meditation. I got introduced and thought, oh, this is nice. I really like meditation, and I already had quite a strong meditation practice. And I just started weaving it into my practice a little bit, and I noticed that there was something different, a feeling, by connecting with the divine within and the heart center. And through doing that, I just felt a little shift, and I wasn't sure if this would be like something that's really, because I really appreciate in meditation that when it's shifting something at a deeper level. So I was wondering whether this was just making me feel good in the moment, or is it making me, you know, something really deep shifting. I know that there's something special to this method. And so that's why coming here, I wanted to immerse myself in it and truly understand what the practice was, read more about it, talk to more people about it, and experience more about it. And what I also love about it is the community of heartfulness, and people actually practicing what they're meditating. I'm really sensing that here, and the energy here is just so powerful. Sitting with thousands of people in that meditation hall and everyone feeling into their heart, is you can really feel that uplifting energy.
We are all connected is what
exactly we're all connected. Cool.
Great.
Thank you so much for your time, Anand. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for having us.
No problem.
Thank you.
So I hope you enjoyed hearing me chat with these two lovely men, Akshay and Anant. Being involved with the Rising with Kindness conference and seeing so many people contributing and participating really made me feel so uplifted for the future of humanity. I think the most prominent feeling I won't forget is sitting in the meditation hall with thousands of other people during the conference practicing heartful meditation. There's just something so powerful about the silence and the connection of the energy between everyone that was there. So thank you for taking the time to listen. Please feel free to rate the podcast and share with any friends who this may interest. Sending you love, my fellow humans, wherever you are.